Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. In this podcast series, I share with you the formula for creating a meaningful life by using my life stories and experiences that have shaped me. Some good, some bad. I talk you through some of the practical ways to find purpose and fulfillment. It is a weekly series, so do subscribe so as not to miss out on anything. My hope is you too can start creating a meaningful life for yourself. In this episode, we explore living life more purposefully by removing our inner critic, those voices in our head that do not serve us. Life, purpose, leadership. Just Let It Happen. I absolutely adore RuPaul's Drag Race. Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. But I want to find that version of self. That carefree, open, love and zest for life version of self. And sometimes I have it and sometimes I don't. About 15 years ago, I had this friend called Paul. We decided we should have drag names when we went out. It's a gay thing. Well, for some of us gays, anyway. I came up with the name Gina String, and Paul was Rhonda Relish. We were just messing about. We talked and acted out our names. We had a character. Whenever we went out, we embodied that character. Looking back, it was a way to perform. It was a way to be playful, playing a role or fulfilling a role, another version of self. The Oxford English Dictionary defines to perform as to fulfill a role. As an actor, when I'm required to fulfill a role, I must bring certain emotions to bear. I must behave in a certain way. I must think in a particular fashion. I believe the same applies to everyone in life. Didn't someone very famous who wrote a number of plays say, "Life is a stage and we're all actors"? So I help people come to terms with who they are and their purpose and how to use emotion to connect with people and how to do that in a public speaking context as well as in an everyday life context. So what we're talking about really is disclosure, sharing some degree of oneself without doubt, just belief. I woke up one morning last week and I was struck by how strong my censor was, my internal critic. "This is not right, Dion. This isn't you." My be perfect driver was kicking in. I just couldn't shake the feeling of not being good enough. I was writing a piece for a client's website. I often write blogs for clients. I had such a block about writing at school. Mr. Ford, my English teacher, said once, "You will never amount to much more than a D in your final exams, Dion. That's a good target for you to aim for, Dion. It's achievable for you." I'm sure he meant well, from his own point of view. Sure, he knew what I had produced thus far. He was making this judgment based on the work I had done. But hey, that stayed with me ever since. However, I don't always remember struggling to write. I wonder, what holds you back from expressing your true self? What stops you being the real you? From finding your inner power and fulfilling the role you know you ought to, your purpose? When it comes to living our purpose and creating meaning in our lives, there are many obstacles in our way, not least of all the ones inside ourselves, the ones in our head. This inner critic is your survival brain. It is the fight and flight. It is driven by fear, though. It is part of your brain that tells you you can't be the person you know you are, the father you are, the mother you are, the sister or the brother or the aunt or the uncle. I've struggled with finding my purpose and being brave enough to live it. Looking back at my life thus far, as often as I do, I've noticed a pattern of events and feelings resembling the activity on an ECG monitor. Every week there is a peak and then there's this huge valley. For every leap forward, there's been a stumbling backwards, sometimes just an inch, and other times what seemed like miles. I recognize and embrace this now, and this has brought me a tremendous amount of peace. I used to think that success and personal development required a steady, consistent ascent towards perfection. After all, my most powerful driver was be perfect. When I've struggled with something I've struggled with before, I have felt I've failed. Last week, I did a talk in a webinar about finding and living your purpose. I was insanely nervous. I don't know why, I just was. I made loads of mistakes, not least of all not introducing myself. I was filled with fear. But hold on a minute, Dion. You've found your purpose. You're living it every day now. Aren't you being it here now with these people? I was, but I was trying to be perfect. And last week, I experienced that professional setback that we've all experienced. I thought I'd done something wrong. Finding and living my purpose doesn't mean always doing and feeling better than I did the day before. That's not growth. And when I believed it was, growth wasn't what I was seeking. I was seeking permanently better. Perfection. In that moment last week, I noticed I wanted persistent happiness, a reprieve from difficult, overwhelming feelings, and a sense that every day of my life, I was one inch closer to the ideal. To the ideal Dion. And we all know that life, and let's face it, our journey is not about that. I have Paula Abdul's song in my head, two steps forward, one step back, opposites attract, or something like that anyway. But in the back of my head, in that moment, I believed it would have no purpose if not for the destination, which made it hard to be honestly the true me. The real me, the authentic, playful, sometimes camp and outrageous me. When I have my mind fixated on getting there, and I'm deeply upset by any seeming break in momentum, I feel like a failure, not good enough, angry with myself. But I'm not supposed to feel angry. I've been cultivating my purpose for years. I'm living my purpose. God damn it! I must stop trying to make it happen. Just let it happen. After the webinar, I realized something that was a quote from Winston Churchill's wife. She said to Churchill, "You are wise because you doubt." I recognize that personal development and growth, that life isn't linear, that every day our struggles with who we are stretch us, helping us come to a better understanding of our true nature. And I live my purpose and grow when I do my best to learn from and move beyond my challenges instead of obsessing over them. So after the webinar, I whacked up the music in the house and I played Pink's Fucking Perfect and I sang at the top of my voice. It was almost like I was driving in a car. Had it not been for lockdown, I probably would have been driving in a car, blaring and belting out that music. Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. I've come to realize that writing helps. It gives us space to understand our emotions. There is a science bit. In a recent study, psychologists discovered brain scans on volunteers showed that putting feelings down on paper reduces activity in the part of the brain which is responsible for controlling the intensity of our emotions. When people write about their feelings, medical scans showed that their brain activity matched that seen in volunteers who were consciously trying to control their emotions. Writing about their feelings gave the volunteers time to notice their emotions. When we're able to notice, we can then make the right choices. In my line of work, I have to be conscious of my emotions. It fascinates me in my experience of working with thousands of people that there is a desire to want to rid ourselves of emotions, a constant strive for positivity. They see emotion as negative, something they're unable to control. Writing helps you notice the situation and next time choose an appropriate level of emotion. Conscious-driven, appropriate emotion propelled into use by noticing can be driven by keeping a diary, writing a blog, or any other form of writing, coupled with being able to notice your breathing. Therefore, writing can make you happier. I have a practice that, when done regularly, will help you deal with the self-judgment that inhibits you. Your inner critic consists of the voices inside your head that constantly evaluate you. It can be enormously useful to confront your inner critic and get these voices out in the open. Write a letter from your inner critic to yourself that includes all the nasty, judgmental things it wants to say to you. Explore why and in what situations your inner critic thinks that you're not good enough or that you're a failure. Try to accurately capture the authentic tone as well as the content of your inner critic's voice. Then write a response letter appreciating the inner critic for its usefulness in your life, but also distinguishing which of its messages you choose to listen to and which are no longer useful. End by finding a way to make peace with your inner critic, acknowledging your continuing maturing relationship. There is another way I like to make peace with my inner critic. Here are 6 options. I get out and hit a tennis ball or do something physical. I keep a diary of positive things I do each day, including good thoughts and feelings. I remind myself of my good attributes. I remember life is a journey with setbacks. I laugh with myself and sing out aloud, usually out of tune. I share my joy with others and ask them to share theirs with me. Make peace with your inner critic, and then you'll find you live more purposely. Just let it happen.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.